All right, so today we're continuing the EDU series. And if you were not here 2 weeks ago, I focused on something and I want to continue on what I focused on 2 weeks ago. But EDU stands for, of course, it looks like education. And of course, EDU is the acronym for education, discipline, and understanding. Everybody say education,
education.
Discipline. Understanding. And so today I want to talk about something that just made the movie. Like, I just put it in the movie at the last minute, like last night. All right. And it is titled, If I'm Right. Look at somebody, say, If I'm Right. This is what I want to talk about this morning. If I'm right. If I'm right. What does that even mean? All right. And so we know right is the root word of what? Of righteousness. All right. And so just a quick 2 minute review. If you were not here 2 weeks ago, if for some reason 2 weeks ago you were with your other family members, you were on an island 2 weeks ago. This is just a 2 minute. Ain't no jealous in my heart. I want to go to heaven. But if for some reason somebody in this room was somewhere that we all would love to have been, 2 minute review. All right. We lifted that. Life gives you EDU moments. Every time I say EDU, think education, discipline, and understanding. Life gives you EDU moments. There's always opportunities to learn in every situation. We're always learning. You win some and you... I'm getting somebody every time. You win some and you what?
Learn.
You win some and you what?
Learn.
Come on. We win some and you learn some. We see throughout the Bible that humans in the Bible have always taken an L. They've what? They've always what? Not lost, but learned. Every scripture, hold up your Bible or your phone. Every scripture is apropos in the series. It is appropriate in the series because there's EDU moments in the Bible. You open up the Bible, you're going to learn something. You open up the Bible, you're going to get motivated to strengthen your spiritual discipline. Look at somebody and say, I can do better. Look at somebody and say, there's more. God is requiring more from us. You open up the Bible and you're going to say, now I understand. I've been reading the scripture since I was 5 years old. And now I what? Understand. Everybody say, understand. There are always teachable moments in our struggle. Think about your struggle. Think about what you walked away learning. All right, write this down. EDU moments is also about being a scholarly Christian. Everybody say scholarly Christian.
Scholarly.
Growing in wisdom and knowledge. Everybody say growing.
Growing.
Who wanna grow?
Me.
We wanna grow. So this EDU series, or as I like to put it, EDU moments that we're going to dive in here in a second. It's about growing. We don't want to stay the same. I will be 44 next week. Thank you for the happy early birthdays. Happy birthday early. Yep. My September birthday's in the house. I know it was a couple. Yep. And so I want to grow. I don't want to stay the same. I want to look different. I want you guys to look at me and say something is different, not physically. I want that to change too, but I want to, while my physical appearance is going like this, I want my metaphysical appearance to go like this. That makes sense? All right, if you're listening online, you're just going to have to watch the stream and see what I just did. In other words, I'm trying to lose weight. Faith and intellect can work together. Faith and intellect can work together. We don't have to check our brains at the door because we're Christians. Amen? We can be smart Christians. The Bible says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free, will set you free. Everybody say, I know.
I know.
Look at somebody, say, I know something about God.
Something about God.
Truth requires seeking and learning. I was inspired by a teacher, by Dr. Robert Smith, to say it this way. That's, write this down. This is really good. He says preaching precedes theology. I'm saying salvation precedes theology. Say it with me. Salvation precedes theology. What does that mean? The Archbishop Canterbury said, you start with faith. Everybody say, you start with faith. You believe first. You encounter Jesus Christ. You on fire for God. Everybody say, I'm on fire. Not fire. Everybody say, fire. Then you spend the rest of your life trying to understand the depth of what you just got yourself into. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. You receive. Then you reason, you study, and you reflect to deepen your understanding. Everybody say, salvation precedes theology. You save and you're like, what in the world did I just do? Because you don't fully understand when you get saved what you just did. Does that make sense? That's why EDU Moments is about the journey of learning. Everybody say, it's a journey. It's a journey. This is school season. This is Clemson fans, make some noise. I think the season has started. The football season has started, right? Saturday. It starts Saturday. So it's education season. So let's all be in the spirit of just trying to learn with the students. Keep up with keep up with the students. It's about learning, unlearning, and relearning, and fully understanding. Everybody say, I want to understand. Man, I hate to be in the dark. I really don't want to be in the dark. Amen? I mean, I want to know, God is a big God. I'm about to be 44. You said, sir, you already said that. You must want a birthday gift. I'm just saying that, you know, birthdays has a way of making you reflect on how good God has been to you. Amen? Amen. And so I just want to learn. I don't want to die full. I want to die on an empty stomach. Amen? Empty stomach. So when you detect an EDU moment, when you realize, man, I'm learning today, I understand today, thank God for the privilege and the honor to be taught, to understand. It is a privilege to have a revelation about something about God. It is an honor and a privilege. You wake up and you say, God, what in the world? Like, you're revealing yourself to me. It's a privilege and an honor. Please don't take it for granted. It's a privilege to be corrected by God. It's a privilege to have a headache. It's a privilege to have pain. Why is it a privilege to have pain? Because if you don't, pain often tells us something is what? Wrong. And then you can actually do something about it. When God corrects us, that's painful. It's uncomfortable, right? Thank God for the correction. The Bible says in Hebrews 12:6, read it with me. Ready, set, go. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. To be taught and corrected by God and moved with understanding is an honor and a privilege. Let's not get arrogant when we start to understand the things of God. Let's walk in humility and say, God, man, you did it again. You're revealing yourself. I'm changing on the inside, and God, I thank you. I don't thank you for no car. I don't thank you for a good meal. I'm not thanking you for a vacation. Let's thank God in the next 5 seconds for understanding in advance. Come on, give God a praise just for future understanding. Because future understanding means future deliverance. Future understanding for your nephew, your niece, your uncle means future deliverance for them. That's a good place to give God praise for future understanding. Proverbs 4:7, I'm almost finished with the review, says, get a whole lot. Everybody say, get a whole lot. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Everybody say, understand. Everybody say, understand. Just so you can just be amped with me. Everybody stand up 2 seconds. You don't have to. You worked all week. But everybody, look at your feet. And if above your feet is, so let me say it this way. Look at your feet and say, what am I standing on? Just look at your feet. Just ponder with me. Reflect. What are you standing on? Understand. I see it this way. You're standing. What's under? Did it just to see if y'all do it. Man, y'all did that. I didn't think y'all was going to do it. I should have bet somebody. I just did it just to see if y'all do it. And y'all did it. Give me $20. So I can put in the church. Understand comes from a Hebrew word called binah. Everybody say binah. Everybody say binah. It comes from a Hebrew word, means binah. Now I understand. So when you come to an understanding, what it means, that means some work has gone into understanding. It's a skill. Looking at something, hearing something, experiencing something, and understanding is a skill. Everybody say it's a skill, because it means to separate, distinguish, discern. It's the ability to distinguish. Everybody say, I understand. You have the ability to figure out how this puzzle fits with this puzzle. Anybody good with puzzles? Lex is good with puzzles, because you understand what needs to happen here and what needs to happen here. But the thing about puzzles is you understand what shouldn't go here. Does that make sense? When you understand, you know what not to do. It's insight. It's comprehension at a deeper level than knowing the facts. Everybody say facts. Everybody say understanding. There's a difference. I submit to you guys, it is possible to know something without really understanding it. That makes sense? You can know something, but it's possible not to really understand it. Kids know that a $20 bill is more than a $5 bill. But they need to live a little longer. My mama says, keep living and you'll see. Because then when you live a little longer, you understand budgeting, taxes, amen, credit, cards. That comes later in life. Then you understand the power of money or the importance of money. Number two, if I'm right, because that's the title of today's teaching. Everybody say, if I'm right.
If I'm right.
Where the uncles at? Where the unks at? Well, the unks, they said unk is code for being old. And I seen that on social media. Have y'all heard that? They said, what's code for old? They said unks. I said, wait a minute. But where the unks at in the room? If uncle says save money, if he's right, you would thank him later. Look at somebody say, if I'm right. But you don't fully understand why saving is important until there's an emergency and you... That rainy day fund looks like a desert. And fries ain't ready yet. What does that mean? You ain't got it. You understand when there's lack, when you fail to do something. If mama is right, she says, watch your friends. Look at somebody, watch your friends. Watch your friends. You know you have friends when you're on top. You don't understand true friendship until you go through a storm. And where are your friends? You understand what true friendship is. Grandma says, work hard. Amen? That's a fact, right? You should work hard. You should work hard. The Bible says a man that doesn't work, what? You don't work, you don't eat. If Grandpa is right when he says work hard, you got to thank him later. Look at somebody say, if I'm right. If I'm right. All right, if I'm right, you know getting up early is important, but you don't understand the why until you start to see the fruit of you getting up early to do whatever you're trying to do when you get up early. I don't know, pray, eat right, exercise, write a book, score a film. But you understand when you start to see the fruit of your consistency that, I drew a blank there. But everybody say, now I understand.
Now.
Everybody say, now I understand.
Now I understand.
So failure can cause you to understand, and success can cause you to understand. That makes sense? Because you know when you have a consequence of something that you made a terrible decision about, he says, now I understand. But how about, let's flip this thing. Success can cause you to understand. Anybody have seen God do some things in your life this season? I know it's a lot of struggle in the earth, but in this room, I feel like there's a lot of testimonies. I don't care if it's weight loss, if it's a raise, if it's a better marriage, if it's peace. Anybody in this room can look at somebody and say, you know what? I'm that person. I have seen success in this room. Raise your hand. Yeah, encourage us. Oh, that's... Give God praise. There it is. Success can make you understand because your choices is responsible for your success. Amen. Everybody say understand. It comes from a Hebrew word, bina. Everybody say bina. Everybody say bina. Maybe bina, or it's one of those, but I think it's closer to bina. Ephesians 1, turn to Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1, verse 17 says that the God, our God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding be enlightened. Understanding is important. Bina is important. Job 28:28 says, Job says, ready, set, read. Behold, and we know Job knows what he's talking about. Because Job did what? He's been through, in the Bible, Job been through a lot. He went through a lot. So now, on this side of life, Job says, God, he's looking at God and he says, now I what? I understand. I understand that you're way more powerful than me, and then you can allow some things. I need to yield to you. So Job is a perfect example of bina. And he's encouraging us to get an understanding. One more time, read with me. Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. It's possible to know that something is a fact and you don't fully understand. That's a problem. That's an issue. Because if you don't understand fasting, everybody say fasting, you'll treat it like a diet. That's a perfect example. You know something is good for you. You know it's a fact, but you don't fully understand the gravity of it. If I'm right about fasting, if the Bible is right about fasting, real fasting, write this down, unlocks clarity, breakthrough, and deeper intimacy with God. Real fasting. Everybody say real fasting. Real fasting is understanding fasting. I'm not talking about a diet. I'm not talking about starving yourself. Real fasting, that means you understand. I am telling you what I know. When you implement real fasting, it unlocks clarity. Everybody say clarity. Of course, everybody in this room could use some clarity. Amen? Amen. And breakthrough and a deeper intimacy with God. Amen? It's a shame to starve yourself but don't see change. You just wasted a fast. It's a shame to starve yourself. You know about fasting, but do you understand? Bina. Do you understand its power? There is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There's power in the what? People call on the name of Jesus all the time. But I submit to you guys, sometimes people don't see the power they expect because they don't understand what they are really invoking. Does that make sense? Anybody said Jesus and the wreck still happened? Everybody said Jesus and something bad still happened? Anybody said Jesus and that thing didn't turn out the way you wanted to turn out? Y'all scared to be truthful. I'll be honest. I'll be truthful. Yes, you called on the name of Jesus and you didn't see the result that you wanted to see. Stop looking at me at that tone of like in that tone of voice. Like, what you talking about? There's power in the name of Jesus. Of course, there's power in the name of Jesus. It is interesting, though, back in the Bible days, in the Bible times, that Yeshua, Jesus, wasn't a rare name. What made the name of Jesus, if you had, you know, Jesus over there, y'all know that Jesus was a common name in the Bible days. Amen? It was a common name. And so what made the name of Jesus Christ different? Because it wasn't just the name. It was, write this down, it was the authority he carried as God in the flesh. It was the authority he carried as God in the flesh. Make sense? That's why the proverb says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. You got to understand what name. It's not just syllables. Jesus is not just the right syllables you should invoke like a slot machine at a casino to get what you want. Amen. It's not just syllables. There is authority behind the name that saves and delivers. So when you understand what you are saying, who he is, what he has accomplished, if you don't understand, you're using his name in vain. But when you understand and you say the name of Jesus, don't be surprised that thing happens before you even get it out. Amen? Makes sense? Understanding. Be nigh. Be nigh is important. Be nigh is important. Understand. Know how to discern. It's a skill. Write this down. Understanding is a skill. It's a skill. I'm still working on my pickleball. Trying to work on my pickleball skills. But how about Alpheus works on trying to understand the things of God better? It's a skill. Jesus didn't just make the name famous or powerful. Write this down. He filled it with, write this down, the weight of heaven's authority. The weight of heaven's authority. Jesus is, it has weight of heaven's authority. Again, we're not just saying syllables. We are stepping under his authority. All right, so let's shift to this. You say, fool me once, shame on you. But we had some new people to come in. I shouldn't even said anything because I should have just did it. Fool me twice, shame on me. Write this down. So today, I want to lift something from a couple of things in Acts 16. That was the scripture that I lifted a couple of weeks ago to get our EDU moments, education, spiritual disciplines, and understanding. And this EDU moment is prayer in Acts 16 preceded power. Prayer preceded power three times in Acts 16. The first time I lifted a couple of weeks ago was Paul and Silas went to pray. They anticipated a place to pray, and they met a woman named Lydia. She was arrested with the message that Paul and Silas presented. God opened her heart. She was worshiping God. God opened her heart. She received this message. She was saved. That's in verse 13. Write this down. Verse 13. This is new stuff, but it's reviewed, mixed together. Verse 13. There was prayer. Who was saved? Lydia was saved. The second time I am emphasizing in Acts 16, prayer came before power. Paul and Silas on their way to pray again. Everybody say prayer. They went to pray again. And then they saw this woman with an evil spirit. And they did what to the woman? They cast out the evil spirit that was inside of the woman. So verse number 16 in Acts 16, verse number 16, there was deliverance right after prayer. Everybody say deliverance. Deliverance right after prayer. Salvation right after prayer. And then Acts 16, verse 16, there was deliverance. This week, I want to focus on the hot now or the juicy, the shouting good time, power after prayer scripture. It's in verse number 25. Because Paul and Silas prayed in prison. They did something to get them in prison. In Acts 16, and after this prayer, there was an earthquake, and everybody was free. I just summed it up in 2 seconds. There was prayer, there was earthquake, which is symbolic of deliverance, also deliverance or freedom. There was freedom. Everybody say freedom. Freedom. Everybody say prayer.
Prayer.
Salvation.
Salvation.
Everybody say prayer.
Prayer.
Deliverance.
Deliverance.
Everybody say prayer.
Prayer.
Freedom. So if we're in this room and we are still bound, perhaps all we need to do is just what? Open up our mouths and talk to God. Amen?
Amen.
Everybody in this room has a situation that needs handled by somebody more powerful than us. Amen?
Amen.
Closed mouths, what? Closed mouths don't get fed. The pursuit of prayer should produce evidence. After you pray, expect to see something. Amen? Expect to see something. God, if you really who you say you are, you should, you know, can you handle this? He's looking like, you need to go somebody else with that tone of voice. Can I do it? When you pray to God, expect a change. Amen. Especially when you go with understanding. Amen. Paul and Silas understood the authority they presented the gospel with. They knew that they had somebody backing them when they preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. When they cast out the spirit in this woman, they knew they had the backing of heaven. That makes sense? They were not scared. Amen? You got to look at that thing and say, it's going to happen. It's going to change. And be relentless. I don't care what it is. Look at something in your mind's eye and just look at something in your heart, in your spirit, and just kind of look at that thing like you're looking into that thing and say, it's going to change. Say, I know you're going to change. Come on, reflect. If you have to close your eyes and say, I know it's going to change. It may sound crazy. Just say, I know it's going to change. Say, God, I know you're going to do it. Say, God, I know you're going to turn it. In Jesus' name. I thought somebody was going to clap. I'm trying to encourage us. I'm trying to encourage me, encourage you, so I'm back and forth. Y'all can tell I'm talking to me, right? It's already changing. I'm telling you something in our situation, some people we know, it's changing. It's like, it's subtle, but I'm like, man, God, I see it changing. Can y'all clap your hands for my family members? So I can, then eventually I'll clap my hands for your family members. It is going to change. Let's have this childlike faith. I mean, they can go to a situation I can see a child going to an ATM and clicking $1 million and thinking that it's going to come out. That's like the childlike faith that I need. In this thing called Christianity, being Christians, I want to lift this. In Acts 16, let me paint this picture in 2 seconds. Paul and Silas, men of God. In Acts 16, they're men of God. They were always praying. They cast out the spirit in this woman that actually said something that was factual, but she had the wrong spirit. She had the wrong motives saying something that was factual, okay? She had the wrong motives, but she said something. It looked spiritual. Everybody say it looked spiritual, but it wasn't spiritual. And Paul and Silas had to do the right thing. Everybody say, if I'm right. Everybody say, if I'm right. If I'm right, a lot of things are going to happen. Not just, I told you so. God is not just interested in, I told you so. Amen. He's not just interested in that. He wants better for us. Of course, God is always right. He wants us to change. Amen. But I seen something here in Acts 16, verse 19. Acts 16, verse 19, it says, when her owners, Paul and Silas, cast out the evil spirit in this lady, she had an owner. And Acts 16, verse 19, when her owners, read it with me, realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and did what? Dragged them. We read this a couple weeks ago. They dragged them. They what? They dragged them. They what? Y'all, guys, do the right thing and watch. They'll try to drag you. They will try to drag you. They will try to turn it. They will try to turn it. Stop bullying in school, and they will try to make it seem like you did something wrong. Paul and Silas did nothing wrong. Amen? Casting out an evil spirit in a woman, it was a great thing, but I was doing something working for my owners, making all of this money. But Paul and Silas, when I came in contact with you, you cast the spirit out of me, I'm really living because I'm free. Paul and Silas, thank you for doing what? The right thing. Thank you, Paul and Silas, for being true men of God, for doing the right thing. But when you do the right thing, you may get dragged. I mean, they dragged Paul and Silas. It was a mistake because they broke protocol because they were Romans. They broke protocol. They were men of God. It was supposed to go a certain way, so it was a big mistake. You guys can research that, dig in that later, but you may get dragged. Christians are being dragged in a day like today. I want to end with this. Y'all okay? Amen. All right. Y'all good? Y'all good? Amen. Are y'all hungry? Yeah. For the word? For the word. I just talked about fasting. Screenshot it, write it down. I know it'll be on the website. Sometimes the loudest accusations come from the ones who stand to lose the most if you're right. If I'm right, what does that mean? That's an EDU moment in Acts 16. Paul and Silas cast out the spirit in this woman. The owner was upset and flipped it on them who was doing something right. Dragged them, canceled them. Amen. Sometimes the loudest accusations come from what? The ones who stands to lose the most if you're right. Be encouraged in this room. Smile at somebody, say, it's okay. Be encouraged. Keep doing right. Keep being right. We are the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ anyway. Amen? We are the righteousness of God through Jesus. Christians, we will feel the spirit of flogging or dragging simply because of expressing truth. Amen? And not being silent. Amen? You said, Alphys, I thought you was going to talk about when Paul and Silas prayed and then they got freed and you tricked me. I wanted to shout today. But in 2025, we all are at risk of being dragged as Christians for simply trying to align with the will of God. Amen? And so I would do you a disservice to say, you know, the rest of your days here on earth is a Christian. I would be telling you, I would be capping. I'll be capping. Cap. The statement that many people make, you too holy for me. Write this down. You're making me uncomfortable with your journey to please God instead of me. That's really what they're saying. You too holy for me. What they're saying, you're making me uncomfortable to please God. I really want you to please me. You too holy for me. You do your homework all the time. You too holy for me. You always tell the teacher on me. You too holy for me. You always telling me I should listen to that. You too holy for me. If you're right in this room, then your quiet discipline exposes noisy compromise. Know that there's sarcasm about your light. You too holy for me. If you're right, everybody say, if I'm right, then your pursuit of peace proves their chaos isn't peace at all. They call it judgment to drown out conviction. Everybody say, if I'm right. They say, if you're right, then I may have to change. I'm right because God is right. This is not a message of arrogance, amen? This is not a message of us walking around saying, you need to do what God says. The Bible says we all are the righteousness of God through who? Jesus Christ. So if I'm right, it's really not if Alphys is right. It's us holding up the Bible. If God be God, if the Bible is true, amen? If the Bible is true, Jesus was accused of blasphemy. If he was right, guess what happened? He was right. Everybody said Jesus was right. But of course, at that time, if he was right, he threatened their religious control and exposed their hypocrisy. Look at somebody and say, I'm glad Jesus was right. Everybody say, God is going to make it make sense. So I want to end with this. Y'all okay? Is this all coming together, weaving together just a little bit? Y'all getting something from this? Okay. I'm encouraged to keep doing right, keep walking right, keep living right, keep honoring my wife, keep just stepping it up. And as I have not arrived. We have not arrived in our marriages, in this church. We can do better. And as a Christian, as a man of God, as a ma'am of God, amen? Amen? And we can be a little less silent these days, amen? Amen? We can be a little less silent. But God will make it make sense. Paul and Silas did the right thing in Acts 16. They are in prison, but God will make it make sense. That's the next EDU moment. In Acts 16, we have prayer that is going forth and praise. Acts 16, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying. Read it with me. They were praying and singing hymns to God. The other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. All the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. Stay right here. I know somebody was going to get there and shout. Of course, that's always a good place to shout. Prayer and then deliverance. The foundations of the prison were shaken. So it's going to pay off. He's going to do it. He's going to deliver. He's going to make it make sense. When they prayed and praised, the other prisoners were listening to them. Their faith was strengthened because of their faith. The Bible says the other prisoners did what? They were listening to them. We got to let others hear our prayers. I'm not saying I'm okay, but it's obviously okay to pray in your secret closet and be quiet. But what I'm talking about these days about being not being so silent, let's let others hear you pray publicly. We can post a prayer. Instead of posting the problem, perhaps we post a what? A prayer. Amen? Let others hear you pray. Revelations 12 and 1 says, and we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and of the power of what? Our testimony. It was like in Acts 16, go back sweet, verse 25. It was like, almost like, you heard of secondhand smoke, right? Or secondhand contact, you know, got kids in the room, but they don't know about that. Yes, they do, I'm sure. Secondhand smoke is when you, y'all know what that is. This is almost like secondhand praise. So when you're praying, perhaps others will benefit and be encouraged by your praise and your prayer. Believers and unbelievers, let's take 20 seconds and encourage each other, not just by our praise, but somebody seeing you going crazy for God. Man, that looked crazy for God. They may laugh at you, but at least you gave them a good laugh. Y'all take 20 seconds and give God a radical, crazy praise to at least encourage somebody else. Encourage somebody else. Man, he looked like he about to retire. She got a tambourine in her hand. What in the world? That's a good one. Don't get your cameras out. She's smiling. He's smiling. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb. They pray and they heard them. The prisoners were listening to. I can hear you. I can hear you. If you feel like you're the only person praying and praising, be the only one. They're going to say, oh, I can hear you. And then they're going to come. Can you say a prayer for me? Can you worship God for me? EDU moment. Let others hear you pray. Let others hear you pray. If you're in a situation, God may not send a lawyer. He may send an earthquake. Don't always look for a lawyer. He may send an earthquake. I'm sure Paul and Silas needed a lawyer, but they got a what? They got an earthquake. If I'm right, When I pray this time, he's going to send an earthquake. If I'm right, when I praise this time, he won't send a lawyer. He's going to send an earthquake. Heaven may not always prevent the prison, but it never forgets who's in it. How many prefer an earthquake over a lawyer? Yeah, after reading this, you say, I'll take an earthquake any day. He didn't even stop the arrest. He didn't stop it from happening. He did not stop the foreclosure. He didn't stop the divorce. He didn't stop the death. He allowed it. God didn't stop the arrest, but he did shake the prison. This is a good place to stop. Y'all clap your hands. I know what we are saying and what we're seeing coming from D.C. Y'all thought I was about to hoop, didn't you? Sorry, guys. I had to do that to prep. I know what we're seeing coming from D.C. and Washington. And in politics and in government. And locally and nationally. Sometimes God doesn't prevent the injustice. But he will show up in undeniable power. By what I just lifted to, perhaps the earthquake was the method of choice over a lawyer. So perhaps he says, this time we don't need a cross-examination. That's what lawyers do, right? If I'm not mistaken, right? There's like this cross-examination. So instead of examination, it may be an earthquake. So this season, don't be surprised when something starts to shake, because it may be God's choice to fix whatever that needs to be fixed. Paul and Silas says, look at somebody say, if I'm right. Paul and Silas says, if I'm right, my worship is going to pay off. If I'm right, my worship is going to pay off. I mean, they're in the prison. God, we just did the right thing. But nevertheless, I'm going to praise, I'm going to pray, and if you be God, if I'm right, my worship is going to pay off. Paul and Silas said, I don't know when. Y'all can stand, guys. This is, maybe y'all can tell it's personal for me, this teaching today. It's a lot woven into this. Everybody say, I don't know how. I'm sorry, I don't know when, but I know how. So please leave here. If you don't remember anything else, maybe remember this statement, Acts 16, and say, I don't know when, but I absolutely know how. That makes sense? You don't know when, but you know how it's going to happen, and you know who's going to make it happen. I don't know when, but I know how. All that matters is you know the how. If I'm right, Paul and Silas, this worship is going to pay off. Even when you don't know when, you know the how. So if that's the case, then let's worship for a few seconds. Let's lift our hands for a few seconds. I don't know when. You're not worshiping for the when. You're worshiping for the how. You're lifting your hands not for the when, for the how. I don't know how. I don't know when. Excuse me, guys. I don't know when, but I know how. I know how. I know how it's going to happen. I know how it's going to happen. Everybody say, I know how. I know how. I know how. Come on, lift your hands and worship for the how. For the how.